And now, Chapter 14, Ill-Motivated Dhritarashtra. Thus ordered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, Akrura visited Hastinapur, said to be the site of what is now New Delhi. The part of New Delhi, still known as Indraprasth, is accepted by people in general as the old capital of the Pandavas. The very name Hastinapur suggests that there were many hastis, or elephants. Because the Pandavas kept many elephants in the capital, it was called Hastinapur. Keeping elephants is very expensive. To keep many elephants, therefore, the kingdom must be very rich. And Hastinapur, as Akrura saw when he reached it, was full of elephants, horses, chariots, and other opulences. The kings of Hastinapur were taken to be the ruling kings of the whole world. Their fame was widely spread throughout the entire kingdom, and their administration was conducted under the good counsel of learned Brahmins. After seeing the very opulent capital city, Akrura met King Dhritarashtra. He also saw Grandfather Bhishma sitting with him. After meeting them, he went to see Vidura, and then Vidura's sister Kunti. One after another, he saw the son of Somadatta, the king of Vahalik, Dronacharya, Kripacharya, Karna, and Suyodhan. Suyodhan is another name of Duryodhan. Then he also saw the son of Dronacharya, Asvatthama, and saw the five Pandava brothers and other friends and relatives living in the city. Akrura was known as the son of Gandini, so whomever he met was very pleased to receive him. He was offered a good seat at his receptions, and he inquired all about the welfare and activities of his relatives. Since he was deputed by Lord Krishna to visit Hastinapur, it is understood that he was very intelligent in studying a diplomatic situation. Dhritarashtra was unlawfully occupying the throne after the death of King Pandu, despite the presence of Pandu's sons. Akrura wanted to remain in Hastinapur to study the whole situation. He could understand very well that ill-motivated Dhritarashtra was much inclined in favor of his own sons. In fact, Dhritarashtra had already usurped the kingdom and was now planning to dispose of the five Pandava brothers. Akrura knew that all the sons of Dhritarashtra, headed by Duryodhan, were very crooked politicians. Dhritarashtra did not act in accordance with the good instructions given by Bhishma and Vidura. Instead, he was being conducted by the ill instructions of such persons as Karna and Shakuni. Akrura decided to stay in Hastinapur for a few months to study the whole political situation. Gradually, Akrura learned from Kunti and Vidura that Dhritarashtra was intolerant and envious of the five Pandava brothers because of their extraordinary learning in military science and their greatly developed bodily strength. They acted as truly chivalrous heroes, exhibited all good qualities of Kshatriyas, and were very responsible princes, always thinking of the welfare of the citizens. Akrura also learned that the envious Dhritarashtra, in consultation with his ill-advised son, had tried to kill the Pandavas by poisoning them. Akrura happened to be one of the cousins of Kunti. Therefore, after meeting him, she began to inquire about her paternal relatives. Thinking of her birthplace and beginning to cry, she asked Akrura whether her father, mother, brothers, sisters, and other friends at home still remembered her. She especially inquired about Krishna and Balaram, her glorious nephews. She asked, "Does Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is very affectionate to his devotees, remember my sons? Does Balaram remember us?" Inside herself, Kunti felt like a she-deer in the midst of tigers. And actually, her position was like that. After the death of her husband, King Pandu, she was supposed to take care of the 5 Pandava children, but Dhritarashtra was always planning to kill them. She was certainly living like a poor, innocent animal in the midst of several tigers. Being a devotee of Lord Krishna, she always thought of him and expected that one day Krishna would come and save them from their dangerous position. She inquired from Akrura whether Krishna proposed to come to advise the fatherless Pandavas how to get free from the intrigues of Dhritarashtra and his sons. Talking with Akrura about all these affairs, she felt herself helpless and exclaimed, "My dear Krishna, my dear Krishna, you are the supreme mystic, the supersoul of the universe. You are the real well-wisher of the whole universe. My dear Govinda, at this time you are far away from me, yet I pray to surrender unto your lotus feet. I am now grief-stricken with my 5 fatherless sons. I can fully understand that but for your lotus feet, there is no shelter or protection. Your lotus feet can deliver all aggrieved souls, because you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One can be safe from the clutches of repeated birth and death by your mercy only. My dear Krishna, you are the Supreme Pure One, the Supersoul, and the Master of all yogis. What can I say? I can simply offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Accept me as your fully surrendered devotee." Although Krishna was not present before her, Kunti offered her prayers to him as if she were in his presence, face to face. This is possible for anyone following in the footsteps of Kunti. Krishna does not have to be physically present everywhere. He is actually present everywhere by spiritual potency, and one simply has to surrender unto him sincerely. When Kunti was offering her prayers very feelingly to Krishna, she could not check herself and began to cry loudly before Akrura. Vidura was also present, and both Akrura and Vidura became very sympathetic to the mother of the Pandavas and began to solace her by glorifying her sons Yudhishthir, Arjuna, and Bhima. They pacified her, saying that her sons were extraordinarily powerful. She should not be perturbed about them, since they were born of the great demigods Yamaraj, Indra, and Vayu. Akrura decided to return and report on the strange circumstances in which he found Kunti and her 5 sons. He first wanted to give good advice to Dhritarashtra, who was so favorably inclined toward his own sons and unfavorably inclined toward the Pandavas. When King Dhritarashtra was sitting among friends and relatives, Akrura began to address him, calling him Varchitravirya. Varchitravirya means the son of Vachitravirya. Vachitravirya was the name of Dhritarashtra's father. But Dhritarashtra was factually the begotten son not of Vachitravirya, but of Vyasadeva. Formerly, it was the system that if a man were unable to beget a child, his brother could beget a child in the womb of his wife. That system is now forbidden in this age of Kali. A Akrura called Dhritarashtra Varchitravirya sarcastically, because he was not actually begotten by his father. He was the son of Vyasadeva. When a child was begotten in the wife by the husband's brother, the child was claimed by the husband. But of course the child was not begotten by the husband. This sarcastic remark pointed out that Dhritarashtra was falsely claiming the throne on hereditary grounds. Actually, Pandu had been the rightful king, and in the presence of Pandu's sons, the Pandavas, Dhritarashtra should not have occupied the throne. Akrura said, "My dear son Vichitravirya, you have unlawfully usurped the throne of the Pandavas. Anyway, somehow or other, you are now on the throne. Therefore, I beg to advise you to please rule the kingdom on moral and ethical principles. If you do so, and try to teach your subjects in that way, your name and fame will be perpetual." Akrura hinted that although Dhritarashtra was ill-treating his nephews, the Pandavas, they happened to be his subjects. "Even if you treat them not as the owners of the throne, but as your subjects, you should impartially think of their welfare as though they were your own sons. But if you do not follow this principle and act in just the opposite way, you will be unpopular among your subjects, and in the next life, you will have to live in a hellish condition. I therefore hope you will treat your sons and the sons of Pandu equally." Akrura hinted that if Dhritarashtra did not treat the Pandavas and his sons as equals, surely there would be a fight between the two camps of cousins. Since the Pandavas' cause was just, they would come out victorious, and the sons of Dhritarashtra would be killed. This was a prophecy told by Akrura to Dhritarashtra. Akrura further advised Dhritarashtra, "In this material world, no one can remain an eternal companion to another. Only by chance do we assemble together in a family, society, community, or nation. But at the end, because every one of us has to give up the body, we must be separated. One should not, therefore, be unnecessarily affectionate toward family members." Dhritarashtra's affection was also unlawful and did not show much intelligence. In plain words, Akrura hinted to Dhritarashtra that his staunch family affection was due to his gross ignorance of fact or his blindness to moral principles. Although we appear combined together in a family, society, or nation, each of us has an individual destiny. Everyone takes birth according to individual past work. Therefore, everyone must individually enjoy or suffer the result of his own karma. There is no possibility of improving one's destiny by cooperative living. Sometimes it happens that one's father accumulates wealth by illegal ways, and the son takes away the money, although it is hard earned by the father, just as a small fish in the ocean eats the material body of a large old fish. One ultimately cannot accumulate wealth illegally for the gratification of his family, society, community, or nation. that many great empires which developed in the past are no longer existing because their wealth was squandered away by later descendants is an illustration of this principle. One who does not know this subtle law of fruitive activities and who thus gives up the moral and ethical principles carries with him only the reactions of his sinful activities. His ill-gotten wealth and possessions are taken by someone else, and he goes to the darkest region of hellish life. One should not, therefore, accumulate more wealth than allotted to him by destiny. Otherwise, he will be factually blind to his own interest. Instead of fulfilling his self-interest, he will act in just the opposite way for his own downfall. Akrura continued, "My dear Dhritarashtra, I beg to advise you not to be blind to the facts of material existence. Material conditional life, either in distress or in happiness, is to be accepted as a dream. One should try to bring his mind and senses under control and live peacefully for spiritual advancement in Krishna consciousness. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that except for persons in Krishna consciousness, everyone is always disturbed in mind and full of anxiety. Even those trying for liberation or merging into the Brahman effulgence, or the yogis who try to achieve perfection in mystic power, cannot have peace of mind. Pure devotees of Krishna have no demands to make of Krishna. They are simply satisfied with service to him. Actual peace and mental tranquility can be attained only in perfect Krishna consciousness. After hearing moral instructions from Akrura, Dhritarashtra replied, "My dear Akrura, you are very charitable in giving me good instructions, but unfortunately, I cannot accept them. A person destined to die does not utilize the effects of nectar, although it may be administered to him. I can understand that your instructions are valuable. Unfortunately, they do not stay in my flickering mind, just as the glittering lightning in the sky does not stay in a fixed cloud. I can understand only that no one can stop the onward progress of the Supreme Will. I understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, has appeared in the family of the Yadus to decrease the burdensome load on this earth. Dhritarashtra hinted to Akrura that he had complete faith in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the same time, he was very much partial to his family members. In the very near future, Krishna would vanquish all the members of his family, and in a helpless condition, Dhritarashtra would take shelter of Krishna's feet. To show his special favor to a devotee, Krishna usually takes away all the objects of his material affection, thus forcing the devotee to be materially helpless, with no alternative than to accept the lotus feet of Krishna. This actually happened to Dhritarashtra after the end of the Battle of Kurukshetra. Dhritarashtra could realize two opposing factors acting before him. He could understand that Krishna was there to remove all the unnecessary burdens of the world. His sons were an unnecessary burden, and so he expected that they would be killed. At the same time, he could not rid himself of his unlawful affection for his sons. Understanding these two contradictory factors, he offered his respectful obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and said, "The contradictory ways of material existence are very difficult to understand. They can be taken only as the inconceivable execution of the plan of the Supreme, who by his inconceivable energy creates this material world and enters into it and sets into action the three modes of nature. When everything is created, he enters into each and every living entity and into the smallest atom. No one can understand the incalculable plans of the Supreme Lord." After hearing this statement, Akrura could clearly understand that Dhritarashtra was not going to change his policy of discriminating against the Pandavas in favor of his sons. He at once took leave of his friends in Hastinapur and returned to his home in the kingdom of the Yadus. After returning home, he vividly informed Lord Krishna and Balaram of the actual situation in Hastinapur and the intentions of Dhritarashtra. Akrura was sent to Hastinapur by Krishna to study. By the grace of the Lord, he was successful and informed Krishna about the actual situation. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the second volume, 14th chapter of Krishna, Ill-Motivated Dhritarashtra.